Shall we get started then? Let's start by reading from Scripture. I want to welcome you all this morning here. We'll start with Scripture reading. Ephesians chapter 6. Our theme this morning is spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. And we'll study what that is and what the Scriptures teach us about it, particularly also as it relates to our families. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. These are Paul's words and the Holy Spirit's words through him to us this morning. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let us bow our heads. Almighty God, we come to thee this morning confessing thy sovereign authority in heaven and in earth, creator and upholder of all things. And Lord, as the topic before us this morning is spiritual warfare, and as we know that the devil is wicked and also powerful, principalities and powers in the present darkness, we want to surrender to thee first. Surrender to thy word, to thy teaching, to thy spirit, to thy rule in our lives. And as we gather here this morning to study the subject of spiritual warfare, we pray that thou be present among us by thy Spirit, pointing us to Christ, our victor, the one in whom we have victory through faith. And show us what Christ-centered spiritual warfare means for us and for our families and for our church. This is our prayer now, and we ask it in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen. What is spiritual warfare? Perhaps when you read that title in the bulletin this morning, in your mind came different thoughts. This is a popular subject, actually. And there's many books, even movies now these days, about the subject of warfare, spiritual warfare. We want to look at this subject, particularly as Scripture presents it to us and what Scripture teaches, because I think we are all engaged in it. Particularly, each believer is engaged in a spiritual conflict, a spiritual warfare. And even those who are not believers are somehow caught up in it. Paul teaches us here from Ephesians 6. There are other references we'll refer to later on in the next few minutes. I'm thinking of 1 Peter 2:11, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Or James 4, verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So Paul, Peter, James, throughout Scripture, even Jesus himself was referring to this topic. But what is this spiritual warfare? Perhaps when you read that title in the bulletin, some of you went and you thought about popular culture, popular movies that have been produced, the Left Behind series, or maybe a Frank Peretti novel. I don't want to put up hands or anything, but I wonder how many people here have read one of the novels of Frank Peretti. I have myself. I've read it to understand what it's teaching, and it's interesting and a captivating story, and yet I wonder if that, in fact, I can say certainly that is not, I don't think, the central focus of what spiritual warfare is all about. It's much more serious even than that, I believe. Satanic temptations. Who here hasn't experienced temptations of the devil in one way or another? Or even the deeper, more serious occult, demonic influences, satanic worship even, Wicca, and other religions. This is present. This is growing around us, I think, in our culture these days. And I think that we do well to understand some of the Bible teachings in this area. Now, in the outline that I presented, some of you might have a copy, I'm not sure. I want to first just touch briefly on several contemporary excesses. Some areas in our popular culture that surround us or in this world where we do see spiritual warfare, or at least a fascination with this subject, but to the extreme perhaps, an unhelpful extreme. As you know, I'm working in Africa now. And there, this is an ever-present reality. Witch doctors, spells, and muti, magic, these things are common. And people talk about it as if it's normal, as if it's real. Even business people will consult a witch doctor for certain practices, either at work or in the family. And these things are common. We see this in the non-West, traditional religions, folk religions, some of this encounter with the demonic, really, in spiritual satanic influences. Now, in our culture, Western culture here in the United States, that has been less common. In the modern world, we put aside these things. You know, we grew up saying we don't believe in ghosts. We don't believe in these things sometimes. We even as children, we're taught this. And yet we see a return to this in our culture, even the popular literature, like the Harry Potter series or many of the movies, there's a return to a fascination with the spiritual domain. And whether it just be powers out there, supernatural, so-called supernatural powers, or whether it be the demonic influence themselves. And we see that in our world today. In the past, before the modern era, there was a knowledge of these things in, for instance, Europe and the Netherlands before the gospel came. That's a long time ago. The modern world pushed many of these things below the surface, and so we don't believe in this middle zone of the demonic. But now we're seeing a return to that in our culture today, as Eastern religions and spiritualisms and mysticism and conflicting spiritualities, all these things are present now. And if you read the news or you get the media in some form or other, you find that there's a return to this. A very common occurrence now is belief in Wicca. I remember when I was in just outside of Boston, where the witch trials were held 200 years or so ago. It was during the time of Halloween, actually, and the whole place was decorated and on display for Halloween. And it wasn't just a Halloween celebration for kids and candy. This was serious. I talked to some people there on the sidewalk who are Wicca. There were worshippers of spiritualism, and even perhaps worse than that, I don't know. So we see an increase of this in our society today, but what is it? What does the Bible say about spiritual warfare, and what impact does that have on us? And how should we understand these things and prepare ourselves for it? I think even more serious than this spiritual conflict and an increase of attention to this subject in the world and a false attention, more serious is the spiritual warfare that every believer is part of. The internal spiritual domain of our heart, where there's a struggle, where there is a conflict. The temptations of the evil one, our own sinful fleshly lust and desires, warring against the godly life that was put within every believer. And in unbelievers, of course, they are still children of the devil, as Jesus calls the Pharisees. That internal domain, the internal dimension of spiritual warfare, it's not out there that many of the popular literatures and culture looks at, but it's the internal conflict in the soul where the real battle rages. And that's the spiritual warfare I think we need to particularly focus on, because that's where Scripture puts our attention. That's where Scripture puts our attention. Let's look a little more closely now at what Scripture teaches about this spiritual warfare. spiritual conflict with the devil. Now, I want to start, we read from Ephesians 6, I want to look also at the Belgic Confession of Faith quickly with you. I'll read it, you don't need to look in your Psalter, I know you have it. Turn to Article 12 if you want to though. Article 12 of the Belgic Confession of Faith actually points us in the right direction regarding spiritual warfare. It says this, I'm just going to read part of it. We believe that the Father by the Word, that is, by His Son, has created of nothing the heaven and the earth and all creatures. He also created angels good to be His messengers and to serve His elect, some of whom are fallen from that excellency in which God created them, fallen into everlasting perdition. And then it goes on, the devils and evil spirits are so depraved that they are enemies of God and everything good. To the utmost of their power as murderers, watching to ruin the church and every member thereof, and by their wicked stratagems to destroy all, they are therefore, by their own wickedness, adjudged to eternal damnation, daily expecting their horrible torments. Now this is the Belgic Confession of Faith, Article 12, part of it. And it's an echo, I believe, of what Scripture says about the reality of spiritual warfare in the world today, and particularly as it relates to us in our own hearts and in the hearts of our families and church family. This is a present reality, a real reality that we are contending with each day. Paul says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness and of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Are you part of this spiritual warfare? I'm not talking about the Frank Peretti style of this battle in the heavenlies. That exists as well. We'll touch on that just now. But this spiritual warfare in the heart. I think we need to start by saying, who is the devil? That's where our Belgian Confession of Faith starts. Who is the devil? Who is behind this conflict? And the Bible gives us clear answers. We all know this from catechism in Sunday school. He was the one who first brought sin into the world, the temptation to Eve and to Adam in Genesis 3. He was created by God, however, as a perfect angel of light, but fell from that through sin. And exactly what his sin was, we don't know the particulars, but it included pride, it seems. He now is rebelling against God, as in conflict with God, at war really with God, we can say. Read, for instance, Revelation chapter 12, the dragon fighting against the seed of the woman and fighting against Michael the archangel. Revelation chapter 12, read it later. So the devil is at war with God, opposition to God, and his goal is to bring others with him. As a fallen angel, with other fallen angels, the demons, he is working for our destruction. He's working for our eternal destruction. That's what the Belgic Confession of Faith says. They are so depraved, enemies of God, working with wicked stratagems to destroy all. He wants our destruction. Now, Wilhelmus Abrakel, chapter 95 of his book, says the devil is working to destroy and weaken faith. He's trying to hinder and prevent our prayers. He's trying to disturb a life of holiness. He's trying to stop the ministry of the Word. And I would even add to that, because that particularly focuses on believers, he is doing his best to keep unbelievers from hearing the gospel and obeying the call of the gospel, repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. He's doing his best. And this is the warfare, the spiritual warfare in which we're all part. He's working through temptations. Perhaps that's where we first encountered this for ourselves, this demonic temptations that want to lead us astray. We know what temptations are, I think, if we're a believer. Even unbelievers, we know the power of sin. The devil is working to tempt, using different methods for different people, but he is the author, the father of lies, and the power behind this spiritual conflict of which we're part. Now, where is this conflict? I think this is crucial. In fact, perhaps this is the most important part of our lesson today. Where is this conflict happening? Popular literature puts the conflict as a cosmic conflict often, not always, a battle in the heavenlies Michael the archangel and all the angels fighting against the demons and their host, the demonic forces. And it's this battle that's dueling it out in the heavens. And somehow we're pulled into this. Either they're keeping us, the demons are keeping us from believing the gospel, or we're on the angel side and we're praying with prayer, we can help the angels win this conflict. It's often how spiritual warfare is presented. And there's some truth to that. I don't want to deny it at all. And yet, again, the focus is in the soul. It's a battle for souls, ultimately. Spiritual warfare is a battle for souls. The devil wants us in hell. The devil wants to destroy all, the Belgic Confession says. It's not flesh and blood, earthly kingdoms, although they are affected. It's not political environment or corporate environment, flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle over souls. African worldview is often man-centered. I am influenced by forces larger than me in nature or even supernatural forces that have influence on me. They're good if they do good things for me. They're evil if they do evil things for me. Good and evil is defined by how I'm affected. That's African worldview in a nutshell. That's not biblical worldview. Modern Western worldview, however, and we see this often in literature that's produced, is this duel, this battle between two forces, good and evil. It's like a football team, Team A and Team B. Team A is bad, Team B is good. We choose the winning team, and that's how the battle... We have to choose the winning team, and we have to be with the winners, the victors. And we have to help the winning team with our prayers. Often even this dualistic thinking, it's very common in the West. We choose the winning team. That's also not how the Bible presents it. I think to understand spiritual warfare, we have to see it as certainly a conflict for souls, a spiritual issue, but a conflict that is already fought and already decided. Already won. What? Genesis 3, verse 15. The seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. You see, spiritual warfare is bigger than us. Certainly it's about the soul, but it's bigger than us. Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. True, isn't it? Christ came. He came and he triumphed over the forces of evil. He crushed the devil's head. So this conflict is the devil raging against God and bringing us into it, wanting our souls for his domain, hell, ultimately. But it's a conflict that has already been decided because victory is already sure. The devil's head has been crushed. He's like a snake. Not long ago, there was a snake in Africa. When you cut the head, the body keeps moving. The devil's head has been crushed, but the body keeps moving. There are still effects of this battle, but ultimately, the victory has already been won in Christ. And so when we think about spiritual warfare, this spiritual conflict for souls, we have to put it in the larger context of God Almighty, who created the devil. It's not dualistic forces of equal powers. One's going to win. We don't know who yet. God Almighty, who even created the devil, who allowed the devil to enter this world, to tempt Eve. He allowed sin in this world. He didn't. He's not the author of sin. He allows the devil's evil for a time, but ultimately will destroy all the works of the devil. His head is already crushed through Christ Jesus. That's how we have to think about spiritual warfare. Christ is victorious. And that's why I asked in the notes here, what is victory? What is spiritual victory, ultimately? It's not me winning some ground. It leads to that, certainly. But victory is in Christ. Christ has crushed the devil's head. So while there's this cosmic conflict, that's true. While there's a conflict for souls, the souls of unbelievers, even in the believers, devil's trying to cause us to stumble, Christ is already victorious. He has come. He has crushed the devil's head. In fact, Hebrews chapter 2, beautiful verses there actually along these lines. Let me just read a few. Hebrews 2, at the end of the chapter, verse 14. Hebrews 2, verse 14 through 18. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, that's Christ, Christ also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And it goes on how Christ took on human nature. He entered this world where there is conflict. He was tempted by the devil, Matthew 4, a very important chapter where we see the temptations of the devil against Christ, teaching us also how to resist temptation. He was tempted by the devil. He was led to death, but he conquered death, didn't he? And he crushed the devil's head so that he can rescue us from slavery to the devil. So he can buy us back, ransom us with the price of his blood. So Christ is the victorious one, and our victory is in him. Faith in his finished work, his victory, and his forgiveness gives us victory over spiritual conflict. Faith in him. In fact, I think that's what the lesson that Revelation 12 is teaching. Revelation 12, we see a picture of this conflict between the devil and the archangel Michael, Revelation 12. But then verses 10 and 11 are noteworthy. And they that dwell on the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry. And I'm sorry, that's verse 11, chapter 12. And I heard a loud voice in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren, that's the devil, is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives until death. So where is victory in this conflict? The conflict is the devil stirring up trouble over souls. He wants us to stumble. He wants us to fall into sin or remain in sin. Christ is the victorious one who rescues us from the control of the devil and gives us victory by faith, faith in his finished work, and even the ability to witness, as we just saw in Revelation 12, verse 11, to overcome by this faith, to be faithful. How should we fight then? How should we engage in this spiritual warfare? Through faith in Christ, his finished work, knowing that the battle is won, not uncertain, but finished and won, not fully accomplished yet, the work of the devil still needs to be fully destroyed at the end of the world, but Christ is victorious, and through him we will also be victorious in this battle against the spiritual evils. And I think also to strengthen our family, strengthen our church communities in this knowledge of Christ's victory. What are some biblical guidelines? Let's end there because I see our time is quickly going. Biblical guidelines in this struggle. I think first of all to recognize the conflict, not just in the world where there's nations raging and spiritual wickedness in high places, but the conflict in our hearts. The devil is seeking to devour. He's seeking to tempt us. As unbelievers, he has us in his control. Believers are already rescued by Christ, and yet there is still this sinful flesh that makes league with the devil. And to recognize that in ourselves and in our families, I think, is the first step. To recognize that this is a very serious, real struggle. But then secondly also, and I'm going to jump in the notes slightly, to be prepared for this spiritual battle. I sit in the notes, boot camp and spiritual battle. To be prepared for this battle against the devil's temptations. It gives us all this armor. In Ephesians 6, we read the different pieces of armor, and you could do a word study in each one of those pieces. Helmet of salvation, the breastplate, the sword of the Spirit. I think the picture here is to be prepared as Christians for this spiritual conflict, to prepare our minds. Perhaps we can liken that to the helmet of salvation. Not
ready ourselves for conflict with prayer warfare, as some would call it, but by faith to put our trust in Christ's finished work, His victory, the one who is victorious. To prepare our hearts in the truth, the knowledge that Christ is victorious, that God is over all things, that it's not just this dueling forces of good and evil, but God ultimately is sovereign, in control of all things, not allowing even evil to go against Him. I think particularly this is helpful when we're struggling with a cross providence, a sickness or a great heavy weight, a burden in the family, something that went wrong, and we are asking the questions of why. Why does God allow this evil in my life or this problem in my life? Job, the book of Job, I think, shows us this very clearly, where we see that there is a spiritual conflict that Job doesn't see. The devil wants to tempt Job. But when we know that ultimately God is in control of all things, and when we have a worldview that shows us that God is sovereign, even over evil and over the conflict of the devil, then we can rest in God's sovereignty and in the fact that God sent His Son to redeem, and that's where Job found his comfort. So preparation for this battle, faith in our hearts, worked by grace in our lives from Christ, understanding of the truth to put these things in proper perspective, growth, and that's leading us actually to the third thing, putting on the spiritual armor. Putting on the spiritual armor. William Grinnell has a book, Christian in Complete Armor, which looks at these verses and elsewhere in Scripture, showing us how we are to prepare ourselves for this internal conflict. Or question here, what does it mean to renounce the works of the devil? We can speak of a conflict out there as maybe popular media does, but what about in our own lives? What does it mean to renounce the works of the devil in our own lives? Because it's these things, footholds for Satan, that allow the conflict into our own soul and allow us to fall prey. 1 Peter 2, verse 11, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. The temptations, the earthliness of us, the worldliness, the fleshliness, that still is siding with the devil in his is an attempt to cause us to stumble. Abstain, Peter says, from these fleshly lusts that war against the soul. And then finally, or two more things actually, resist the devil's temptation. Jesus, when he was on earth, was confronted by the devil, Matthew 4. He was led into the wilderness by the Spirit, where the devil tempted him 40 days without food. And the devil came, tempted him. Three accounts are listed, are mentioned for us in Scripture. Three times the devil tempted him severely. And three times he answered with one word, one phrase. It is written. It is written. It is written. You see, popular Christian media even will say spiritual warfare is fought with, sometimes it's called prayer warfare or power encounters, casting out demons. I've seen it attempted where demons are cast out of people. The evil spirit of drinking is cast out, or the evil spirit of a lust is cast out. But the Bible doesn't present it that way. The Bible presents it as our fleshly lusts, which war against our soul, that need to be crucified. And the Bible also presents Jesus' conflict with the devil as, and the weapons that he used was the Word. It is written. It is written. You see, each time Jesus referred back to the Word of God as his weapon, his means of confronting the temptation and the attack of the evil one. And so preparation and also resisting the devil through the Word by grace. Not in our own strength, though. Because you see, if it's up to us to win this battle, we will be losers. But if we again return to the fact that Christ is victor, and it's through faith in Him that we receive victory, and through His grace that we're given, that we can resist the devil, We must return again and again to that fact, that victory is through faith by His grace, as we employ the lifestyle of holiness, as we exercise the graces given. And then finally, the final guideline I think we learn from Scripture just briefly is prayer. Paul says, pray for me that the gospel may continue. He says that in many places, also in Ephesians, and in connection to this spiritual warfare. Because there is a real battle, a cosmic battle in the heavenlies, and each individual person affected by it. And as we are given grace and faith by, hopefully, by the Spirit's work within us, we want to also pray that others will have that same experience of God's victory through grace. Victory over the dominion of sin and the attacks of the devil, his temptations. And so it's a very real part of spiritual warfare is to pray for others. And in fact, our confessions, Heidelberg Catechism, question 123, says that's part of our prayers as a church, the Lord's Prayer. Pray that the works of the devil will be destroyed, and that all violence that exalts itself against God would be put away. And so prayer for our families, for our children perhaps, if we have children, that they will also be kept from the temptations of the devil, kept from this conflict, and delivered, rescued by grace from him, if they're still unbelievers, and brought into the victory of fellowship with Jesus Christ. These are guidelines I think Scripture gives us to think about spiritual warfare from a biblical point of view. Now, in closing, I just want to mention four helpful resources on this subject if you want to study it further. The first one is a biblical survey, because I know there's not a lot written on this subject, and it's somewhat intriguing even perhaps, and there's a lot that's written from a bad perspective. The first one is a biblical survey by Frederick Leahy, a little small book called Satan Cast Out. I think he's from Scotland, I believe. Frederick Leahy, Satan Cast Out, extremely helpful book on this subject of spiritual warfare. Another one I mentioned earlier is William Grinnell, The Christian in Complete Armor. And then, let me just mention one more, and perhaps one of the most helpful. Not exactly a contemporary author, but the one I found most helpful on this subject is Wilhelmus A. Brockel. He actually has two chapters in this area. Book 1, Chapter 9, on the devil and his activities. And Book 4, Chapter 95, which is on the more spiritual counsel for believers and unbelievers relating to this subject. All of these books, particularly the last one, Wilhelmus A. Brockel, are helpful in this area as we see an increase of the spiritual warfare in the society around us, and as we ourselves are called to engage in it, to keep ourselves from temptation and the devil. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we confess that this subject is beyond us. The spiritual wickedness is around us, and even the fleshly lust and sinful desires within us cause us to be prey to the evils of the devil. We confess that victory is not in us, and that we cannot resist this evil, this present darkness, especially even as we see it growing in our postmodern society. But we pray that as Thou hast been victorious through Thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and as Thou art the sovereign God over all things, even the devil, that Thou will help us to think wisely about this subject, and even more importantly, to put our trust in the victory of Christ, His salvation, His deliverance by faith, and that Thy Spirit will work within us this faith and communicate to us the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, His finished work, so that we can put this grace into exercise, into practice, and resist the devil so that he will flee from us. Lord, we pray that each person here will resist the devil, that if there are unbelievers, that they will be led to a confession of their sinfulness, the footholds of the devil, the power of the devil in their lives, and cry out for mercy to King Jesus, who is victorious, and that believers will see more clearly this conflict and prepare themselves for spiritual battle, the attack of the evil one, be protected from temptation, and grow in holiness and the application of thy word in their lives. And then, Lord, that our families also, our children and young people, as they encounter media, as they encounter these things increasingly in a post-Christian society, that thou will protect our families, protect our church family from the wiles of the devil, from the principalities and powers that surround us that are evil. Give us perspective to see that the battle is won and yet we still have work to do. And help us, Lord, to put our trust in King Jesus, even as we put on the armor that thou hast given us by grace. We thank thee for this instruction from thy word and pray that it may fill our lives so that we will be protected and that we will also one day celebrate victory with the Lamb as we cast our crowns before the one who is victorious even over the devil. This we pray now in the name of Christ, our King and Savior. Amen. Thank you and have a good afternoon.